The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine, the show that teaches you how to survive the things that could kill you.
Like lightning strikes, being held up at gunpoint, and shark attacks.
Oof. And the things that just make you wish you were dead.
Toilet paper on your shoe, vomiting in public, oof, being heckled on stage.
Ugh.
We should play a song.
We should play the song. Welcome to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. I am Danielle.
I'm Christine.
How are you, Christine?
I'm enjoying your sweater. You're wearing my favorite Danielle Koenig look.
This is the kind of look I would wear every day if I cared enough to put it together and had enough
Peter Pan collars.
Peter Pan collars, yes. So I'm a big proponent of the Peter Pan
and
collar.
And a tie and a
little like bow that goes with it. Yeah.
It's perfect.
Thank you.
And your glasses. I feel like you could. I don't know, be a sexy schoolmaster.
Works for me. Why not?
It does work for you. Is it two pieces?
The sweater is, yeah, the sweater is, there's a blouse and a sweater, and the bow came with the blouse.
You know who would like this?
Who?
Jenna Lyons.
Would she? I think it's too preppy.
Oh, no. I think she'd like it.
Really?
Yeah.
But she's all, like, glam 70s, like...
Well, she might put some, like, sequin pants with it.
Oh, yes, she would.
And high heels.
And no bra.
No bra.
I was thinking about her yesterday for some reason with the no bra.
Maybe because your bras have benefits.
I just don't understand how that could be comfortable. Oh, speaking of not comfortable, you have a new...
I have a new thing to make me uncomfortable.
Yes.
I was like, you know what? My leg in a brace is not enough.
So let's...
Get Invisalign.
Invisalign.
Yeah.
And so you have... Little things attached. What did you say?
Yeah, it's weird. For those of you who don't know how Invisalign works, they put these anchors, they glue anchors onto multiple teeth.
Yeah.
And they feel like little like nuts, broken nuts.
Broken nuts in your mouth.
Broken nuts all over your teeth that then they anchor the plastic piece over. I had to take the plastic pieces off while we do the podcast. Otherwise, I'd sound like this the whole time.
Which is cute.
Cindy
Brady.
It might sound a little bit like I have a brain injury.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you don't want that.
I don't know if people want to hear me sound like that the whole time.
No.
And you have to take them off to eat. So then when you eat, it just constantly feels like you have food all over your teeth.
Oh, God. And how long do you have to wear these for?
14 weeks.
Oh, that doesn't seem like that much.
Is that right?
14 weeks?
Yeah.
And there's
no, that can't be. No.
14
months? 14 months. It's till next November. How long is that?
Oh, that's not 14 months because that would be less than a year. And a year, 14 months is a year plus 2 months. So that would be something like 14 weeks. But I think more than that.
You know what? This isn't a math podcast.
No.
We don't have to figure this out.
It's really not. But that seems, and it's supposed to do what braces do? Braces that you have to wear for 3 years?
Yeah. It's gonna fix all the alignment. My bottom teeth are very crooked.
Uh-huh.
My top teeth are also, they don't look as crooked, but the whole alignment is crooked. So they're going to bring everything into alignment. And then I'll get to fix my four front teeth that are also messed up.
What do you mean fix them?
Well, after I get Invisalign off, I'll have those repaired because a lot of this is, what's that called?
Enamel?
Fake.
Fake enamel?
Fake. Yeah, it's fake.
Oh, so what do you do then? Like, well, are your whole teeth fake or just
top? Lots of parts of them. He wants to do veneers, but I want to try to talk him out of it.
Veneers are like those fakey chiclet things.
Well, they can look bad, but a lot of people have veneers and they look really good.
But is a veneer something you put on top of your tooth?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So it's not like
it's bigger than
fake
a cap.
Choppers.
No, no.
Okay.
But they do like grind your original tooth down.
Oh my God.
Which makes me
so
very nervous.
It seems anti-sensical.
It does.
To grind a perfectly good tooth down just because you want it to look prettier. I mean, I get it. I get it. But it also just seems...
Yeah.
Because then, I don't know. I don't know. The idea of grinding healthy teeth down just doesn't seem right.
It doesn't. Tooth talk with Danielle and Christine. Don't go anywhere.
Teeth. I don't think it's fair that I should have anything wrong with my teeth because I went through braces at the age of 7 or something ridiculous.
Your teeth look absolutely perfect.
No, they do have a lot of discoloring also and like little chips on the bottom and stuff. And the last time I went to the dentist, which was very recently, the dentist was just like, first of all, he says, "Oh, honey." He always says, "Oh, honey, you have to floss more, honey."
Yeah.
He's American. No, he's not.
Well, he probably is American.
He's American, but he's not American born. And I don't mind him calling me honey because he's not from this country.
Yes.
It's not as creepy as, I don't know. It's fine. But speaking of teeth.
Yes. Nice segue.
Thank you. Should we get into our topic today? As I change my glasses?
Yes, please. The glasses
are off. Changing.
And then back on again.
We're going to talk about today is how to survive a shark attack.
Yes. I've been dreaming of this moment since we started this podcast.
And why is that?
Because sharks are terrifying.
They are terrifying.
And every time I stick my toe into the ocean, I think about sharks. Because I'm a child who saw Jaws too young, like many children of our generation.
I didn't see it till I was an adult, so maybe that's why.
No, I saw it when I was a child, and it terrified me, and it still does.
I understand why. I do. I just always assume I'm just more scared of drowning.
Oh, I'm scared of that, too. But, I mean, whenever my legs are in the water moving like this, I think of those scenes in Jaws. Those shots of the legs floating freely like it's the shark's POV, right?
Yeah.
The shark's coming and I just think I'm about to get my legs bitten off.
Yeah.
But
well,
now I think of my kids' legs getting
their
bitten
legs,
off.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into some some statistics, shall we?
Yes. Ease my mind.
I think Garen can't look at me with these glasses on. I mean, they're just store-bought. You know, they're horrible. But what are you going to do? Okay. The Florida Museum of Natural History's International Shark Attack File investigated 137 alleged shark-human interactions worldwide in 2021. ISAF confirmed 73 unprovoked shark bites on humans and 39 provoked bites.
Provoked, like the person was like, ding, 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 poking a shark?
The person was like, why are you so fat?
Hey,
why you got to displace so much water in the ocean?
You want to fight?
You want to fight
me?
I'm actually going to tell you.
Okay.
So unprovoked bites are defined as incidents in which a bite on a live human occurs in the shark's natural habitat with no human provocation of the shark. Provoked bites occur when a human initiates interaction with the shark in some way. This includes instances when divers are bitten after harassing or trying to touch sharks, dum-dums.
Is this like those shark encounters kind of things where people sign up for a tour?
Oh, that's a good point. I don't know. You mean like when they're in those cages?
Well, I don't even know if they're in cages, but I think there are places where you can like sign up. It's just like people do swimming with dolphins where they can do like shark encounters.
Well, I did that. Jimmy and I did that in the Bahamas, and it was sharks that... I guess don't
like nurse sharks. They're
nurse sharks. Is that what they're called?
Nurse, like a nurse that helps you at the hospital. But this is a shark. She wears.
Do they wear little white hats?
She wears a little white hat, and she says, "Hey, I can't give you any more Vicodin right now." And you're like, "Please, I'm really in a lot of pain."
Yeah.
And she says, "Well, how about I bite you?
Because that'll take the pain away from wherever you're feeling
into a new place."
I don't know if there were nurse sharks. They were large, but they weren't like what you imagine. They weren't like Jaws. They were like 10 feet. Or something long.
I bet they were nurse sharks.
And I just have this thing. If someone tells me it's okay, I'm just like, okay. Like, yeah. Why? You wouldn't take out a bunch of tourists in a place that
where there's sharks
that can bite you.
Yeah.
So, like, there was a line in the water that was connected to the boat, and we would just, like, held on to the line, and the sharks were around, and we could get off the line and swim around and snorkel.
And you saw sharks.
It was great.
Yeah.
But, yes, maybe you're right. These so touching sharks, bites on spearfishers, bites on people attempting to feed sharks, bites occurring while unhooking or removing a shark from a fishing net, and so forth. So that would be,
so
like,
it might be people fishing or people who aren't trying to catch a shark. Catch a different kind of fish.
I think that's what,
okay.
So there were 11 shark-related fatalities this year. This is 2021.
In the United States.
No, this is worldwide.
Oh, worldwide. Okay.
Yeah.
That's so small.
Yeah. 9 of which were assigned as unprovoked. This number is above the annual global average of 5 unprovoked fatalities per year. So
sharks are getting angrier.
First, they were saying that the numbers were going down because of COVID. People weren't in the water. But then I guess as it went on, they were. There are a number of steps you can take to increase your chances of survival during a highly improbable attack.
Okay, I'm ready.
According to Richard Pierce, a shark... this guy either... It's either a typo or this guy spells his name P-E-I-R-C-E, and that is unacceptable.
To you, your eyes cannot handle it.
No, it's P-I-E. I wonder if... That's so weird.
Do you think that maybe people's names aren't under the rules of grammar, Danielle?
No, they should be.
Really?
Pierce? You've seen Pierce as a last name, and it's P-I-E.
Yeah, I mean, and as a first name.
Maybe Pierce, it's Pierce.
Well, he could be German or something.
Yeah, Pierce.
Pierce.
It sounds too soft of a... Do Germans have soft C's? I don't know. Just sounds...
I don't remember. I think we can just let him have his name how he wants it to be.
Do you think maybe I'm focusing on the wrong thing? Is that what...
Sometimes.
Drink your coffee. Okay. According to Richard Pierce, a shark expert and former chairman of the UK-based Shark Trust charity. A shark trust is when the shark isn't of age yet and they put some krill... Is that the right word? In a trust until the shark turns 21. And then they give them the krill. I think krill is the right word. I don't know. It's
it is.
I'm literally remembering it from a Dr. Seuss book.
It's K-R-I-L-L.
Right.
But I don't know if sharks eat krill. Anyway.
I don't know either. Okay. Consistent with long-term trends, the United States recorded the most unprovoked shark bites in 2021 with 47 confirmed cases. Wait, that doesn't make sense because... Oh, yeah. So of the 73 unprovoked, 47 were in the United States.
Okay.
Okay, here you go. Before you get in the water, river mouths might not be the best place to swim.
River mouths? Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Pierce, it is P-E-I because it's spelled the same way here.
Okay.
Pierce recommends avoiding estuaries, particularly where there are bull sharks, which, along with great whites and tiger sharks, are the most likely to attack humans.
Ooh.
An awful lot of attacks occur in river mouths, where there is silt and other material in suspension in the river. People washing their clothes, people washing themselves, says Pierce, who has spent time in Jeffreys Bay, South Africa. So, this I found interesting. Avoid fishing boats. Before you jump in the sea, have a look around the horizon. What do you see? If you see fishing boats, Pierce says, forget it. If fishermen are catching fish or struggling with fish in the water, that's one of the prime attractors for a shark, he says.
From the bait and all the other
fish.
Right,
and blood.
Ooh, blood.
Yeah. So when you've hooked a fish before you've landed it on the boat, the whole time it's struggling in the water, it's likely to be emitting fluids, leaking blood and acids.
Fluids.
All the signals that would attract a shark. It doesn't matter the size of the fishing operation either, whether they're a commercial or recreational fisherman, they're often discarding material. Fish they don't want, fish parts, gutting fish. They're effectively putting chum in the water and bringing around sharks.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds so obvious, I never would have thought of that.
No, me either.
But you think the fishermen would know not to do that then.
Like throw chum in the water?
Yeah.
They don't care, though.
But aren't they worried about getting attacked by a shark?
I guess they're... Well, they're not going to jump in the water, right?
Yeah.
And they don't think a shark's going to jump up on the boat and pull them in.
Like, and like, in Jaws.
And like Jaws. That's probably not as likely to happen.
Yeah. Okay, mistaken identity. Swimming early in the morning or late at night can be lovely, but it's also the time when a shark attack is most likely. A lot of shark attacks are cases of mistaken identity, Pierce says, due to reduced visibility and identification ability on the behalf of the shark.
Isn't meaning, that when a lot of surfers go out?
I guess, yeah. I think it's like they're mistaking you for a fish or for a seal or something as opposed to a human. Don't bleed or pee in the water.
Don't pee in the water?
Bingo. It sounds
the
like...
the ocean's the best place.
I know,
though,
right?
That's, I mean...
I know.
Doesn't everybody pee in the ocean?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yes. Uh-oh. Well, here you heard it here first.
Yeah.
Or second.
Or maybe you've heard it all your life. Yeah. Who knows?
Well, I've heard it here first.
Me too. Sharks have an extraordinary sense of smell and can detect a drop of blood in several hundred million parts of water. According to Pierce, blood indicates the presence of something to eat and may attract sharks. But what's often not realized is that urine has the same exact effect.
No way.
And if you're sitting on a surfboard in the water all day, you're peeing all day through your wetsuit.
Oh my God, you're blowing my mind right now.
Right? Pierce also says women who are menstruating should stay on the beach.
What?
And that people who cut themselves while swimming should get out of the water. I mean, it makes sense. You're bleeding. I mean, have you ever been around a dog when you have your period?
Oh, my God.
Right?
We had a dog that used to get all the tampons out of the trash cans.
Same.
And then just be running around the house with a bloody tampon.
My dog did that all the time. My dog did that all the time when I was a kid.
It's so embarrassing.
It's, right?
Yeah.
So it makes sense. Of course you don't want to be having your period in the water. Even if you do.
I always thought that was a, like, old wives
tale. It sounds like an old wives tale. Okay. If you find yourself in the middle of an attack, don't panic.
Don't panic in the middle of an attack?
Nope.
You know what? I probably will go right into shock.
Exactly. And you'll pee yourself, which will then bring on more sharks.
And then blood.
And then blood, yes.
I'm going to be getting bitten, so blood's going to come out. And then the shark's going to be more excited.
Yep. So you're being circled by a shark. It's not the best thing that's ever happened to you, but the worst thing... What if it was the best thing that's happened to you?
Guys, it's happening.
I've lived such a boring life. Now I finally have a story.
Oh, I have something to talk about on the podcast.
Panic! Exclamation point in the ocean. I was just Panic at the Disco. It's stupid. Don't worry about it. Okay. Drink your coffee. All right. Don't start splashing around. You're just going to excite insight and encourage the shark's interest.
So that's not going to scare them off.
Exactly.
Isn't going to be like, oh, wait, it's a lot of splashing. I better go in the other direction where it's calmer.
Yep.
Okay.
Humans, apes, dogs, and cats all have paws and hands. If we want to explore something, we pick it up and we touch it. We feel it. We put it to our nose. A shark has got no paws or hands. So if it wants to explore something, the only capability it's got to do that. The only capability it's got is to do that. This was really Pierce's off his rocker. Anyway, he's saying they explore with their mouths.
Oh, right. Because it's like they have those fins, but they don't even touch each other,
right? I don't know. No, they can't. How could they?
They can't really grab with their fins wouldn't touch.
No. That they don't have opposable fins.
That must be frustrating for them.
You think it is?
Yeah.
Well, we can't do certain things with our body and we don't know it, so it's not as frustrating for us.
Oh, maybe you can't.
Oh, well, you can do everything with your body. Can you fly?
I can't even walk with two legs right now.
No, you can't. You can't get down a hill without injuring yourself. All right. But yeah, maybe it's like how men can't touch their toes. Well, I mean, a lot of people, I guess, can't touch their toes.
Yeah.
Maybe you think sharks are just every day like, I can do it. I can do it.
They're just practicing all the time.
That's why we often get exploratory bites, which don't result in death and sometimes don't even result in serious injury.
Just like a little nibble.
Exactly.
A little tap with your teeth.
Yes. If you go swimming and splashing away, you're almost inviting the shark to come give you an exploratory or an attack bite.
Oh, like we're playing.
Yep. Or I'm just trying to figure out what you are.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't have, I mean, my eyes are on the side of my head. I don't have fingers. I don't have paws. I'm doing the best I can.
You know what you should have with you out in the water is that backpack full of rocks.
I think that's what Virginia Woolf.
Maybe she was trying to keep the sharks at bay.
Yeah. She's been misunderstood all
this whole time.
Yeah, she had a backpack full of rocks. Okay. Maintain eye contact. As the shark swims around you, keep your head on a swivel. You got a lazy Susan of a head. And try to, I don't know.
Wait a second. Can you imagine having to maintain eye contact with the shark?
Right, because we just said the eyes are on this. So what, you just have
for
to one, like...
For what your eyes are like this?
Maybe just remain eye contact, not eyes contact, eye contact. Just one eye. You can't look at them both at the same time.
No.
You got to come up on its side.
Your eyes will be like reverse cross.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Keep your head on a swivel and try to maintain eye contact. Sharks are ambush predators, Pierce explains. If you're turning around and facing it the whole time while it circles you, it's not going to be half as comfortable as if it's able to sneak up from behind. I guess it does recognize you as a living being if you have...
Okay.
Stay big or get small.
Come on, Pierce.
I know. This is where it gets complicated. If a shark is clearly in attack mode, you need to make yourself as big as possible in the water, according to Pierce. The bigger you are in the water, the more respect you'll get. But if the shark seems to simply be passing through, Pierce's advice is to roll up into a ball. So
you have to be able to tell if they're just kind of swimming by and kind of like looking over, like, I'm just looking over, or if they're like, whoo, 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 going back and forth like really fast.
Yes, exactly.
That seems more tacky.
If they're more attacky.
So check, just be a body language expert of sharks.
I wish the audience could see Christine's impression of a shark. It's extremely adorable.
I'll make a TikTok.
Make a TikTok. You are so braggy with your TikTok ability now.
Well, no, I haven't really done anything. Oh, okay. I just talk about it.
If a shark sees you, that's the first step. If a shark sees you as a competitor for its food source, that can be one reason it attacks you.
Mm.
If I didn't want to be seen by a great white shark as a competitor, and if it wasn't showing massive interest in me, I would actually curl up so he shows even less interest in me.
Okay.
I wonder if only male sharks attack.
Mm, that's a good
question. Probably not, right?
Probably both, but...
I'm assuming both.
Yeah. We should find that information.
Okay, don't play dead.
Oh.
This isn't a bear, it's a shark.
Okay.
If you find yourself in an aggressive encounter, give it hell. Punch, kick, and poke.
Once they start attacking.
Exactly. At sensitive spots. But be careful where you aim. This is interesting. There's all this talk about punching a shark in the nose.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, but remember that just underneath the nose is a mouth.
Mm.
This is a moving object in the water, and you're not staying still either. So what you don't want to do is end up effectively punching at the mouth or anywhere near it.
Because then you're just going to hurt yourself.
You are
badly
asking for it to be bitten off.
Yes.
Right.
You're like, hey, you want to eat this?
Yes.
The only weapon I have.
Here's my weapon and your appetizer is my hand. A good shot to the gills.
Oh.
Can also do the job.
Because it's like punching their lung.
Yes. The gills are very sensitive. Giving a shark a whack in the gills isn't a bad idea. Are you carrying anything with you? Here's your backpack.
God, I hope I have like either an umbrella.
Sure. You're surfing with an umbrella.
That bag of rocks.
If so, turn it into a weapon. If you're a diver with an underwater camera, use it. If you're a snorkel... If you're a snorkeler, rip off your snorkel and use it to poke the shark.
Mm-hmm.
These are smart things because these are things you might have with you. This is not outlandish. I've had a lot of sharks come at me, and it's been enough to use a shark billy, a small metal rod between 2 and 3 feet long. And I've just given them a little nudge on their nose. So obviously, if you're, what is it called? Not snorkeling, but deep sea diving.
Scuba diving.
Scuba diving. Then maybe you would have something like that.
Like a little billy. Shark billy.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's an item that must be for people who go in the water around sharks.
Yes. Cut off the angles. If you're a diver and you run into trouble, try to get into position where the shark can't get behind you, said Pierce. Keep your back to something like a coral reef.
Oh, great.
Yeah, smart. Then you've only got one direction to look. You're protected from behind, for example, and that enables you to keep the shark in sight in front of you and maybe swim to the top of the reef slowly to where your boat is, hopefully. Slowly back away. This goes to the first point, displacing the least amount of water possible, i.e. no thrashing and splashing around.
Mm-hmm.
Gradually swim backwards away from the shark towards shore. This reminds me of the mountain lion.
Yes.
Walk backwards.
Yes.
Keep your eyes on the shark at all times. But swim backwards. You must try and keep the animal in sight and very slowly and gently try and swim backwards and get into shallow water. Again, you've got to be careful. Large sharks can attack in very shallow depths.
That's so scary to me because I don't go in the water very deep.
Yeah.
I'm not big on the ocean going out far.
Yeah.
Even when I snorkel, it's usually pretty shallow.
Yeah.
And the idea that these huge sharks can be even in that shallow water is something I don't like it.
I don't like it either. But I'm wondering if it's not normal for them to be in shallow water.
I don't think so.
Something has gone wrong if they, I guess.
Maybe they're kind of sick.
They're sick or they're sick. That's sick. Or they just saw a comedy show, mm-hmm. and the comedian was the one saying the inappropriate things, but the sharks were the sick ones.
Yeah.
Because they laughed.
That's right.
They're going to hell, but they're going to hell with the comedian.
This all makes sense.
Yep. This is the dumbest. Okay. Doing the above may help to a degree, but Pierce says the likelihood of escaping an attack from a big shark without injury is slim. If a white shark is in full attack mode, there's not much you're going to be able to do at that point, he says. Now I'm going to tell you a story. And it's a story you may have heard.
Maybe.
About a very famous surfer mm-hmm. who was famous even, I mean, in the surfing world. I'm not saying I knew who he was.
Okay.
But a famous surfer who was attacked.
Okay, let's do this.
On live television.
No way.
Yes.
I don't know this story.
I actually do vaguely remember this. Do you remember this, Garen?
No.
Okay. Mick Fanning was already a household name in pro surfing by 2015, but he became an absolute legend that year when he fought off a shark attack by punching the shark in the nose. Now he is ready to call it a career, so he finally is retiring. Fanning has had at least two brushes with sharks, with a 2015 encounter in Jeffreys Bay, that's in South Africa, that's mm-hmm. where the guy was said he had experience, caught on live TV. Video of the incident has been viewed more than 25 million times on YouTube.
No way. I have to watch this.
Yes. He admitted that he was just waiting for the teeth to come at me as he fought off the shark and as he and fellow competitor Julian Wilson waited to be picked up by World Surfing League officials. He's Australian. Do you want me to read this in an Australian accent?
I think you know the
answer.
Would
that be important to the story?
Yeah.
I was just sitting there. I was just about to start moving and then I felt something grab. Got stuck in my leg rope, he said, sounding remarkably relaxed. Well, he's Australian. Of course he's going to sound relaxed. I instantly just jumped away, and then it just kept coming at my board. I was kicking and screaming. I just saw fins. I didn't see the teeth. I was waiting for the teeth to come at me as I was swimming. I punched it in the back. Fanning explained that he was being pulled. Is it so awful? Is that why you guys are laughing?
No, it's so good.
Fanning explained that he was being pulled under by his leg rope and when that broke, I guess the shark had the leg rope in its teeth and then it broke. He started swimming and screaming. From the safety of the boat, he later added, I just can't believe it. I'm just tripping. To walk away from there, I'm just so stoked. I love that a surfer still says stoked and tripping. It's just the best.
The best.
He reduced his schedule for a bit after that, admitting that the experience was an emotional mental trauma. He returned to a full schedule in 2017. That year, he and another surfer were pulled from the water after another shark was sighted in the same area known for its popularity with sharks.
Well, so, yeah. I mean,
it is huge, Fanning said when he saw footage of the shark. Look at that thing. That thing is a beast. At least they know this one. I am glad they got it out of the water. Those things are just submarines, however long they are. The roundness of them as well. They are big, big beasts. Fanning apologized for the toll his heart-stopping encounters took on family, friends, and fans. People at home, I'm sorry to put you through it, he said in 2017. I don't try to put myself in danger anymore. I think I've been in that situation a few too many times, but I feel really safe. So this guy, you have to watch the footage.
Wow.
I mean, he's just, it's like during the competition, and he's on his surfboard, and then you just see him like, oh my God, it's scary. It's crazy.
Well, it's kind of interesting because they're going into shark territory.
Right.
And so
it's not, as I was reading other stuff about it, they said, like, you always think, you know, it's a possibility.
Yes,
it's not like they're naive. They know it's a possibility, but, you know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was the girl whose arm, I'm sorry, I don't remember her name, but whose arm was bitten off.
Yeah, I remember that
story. Continues to surf with one arm.
Yeah.
So obviously it happens. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I think if I got my arm bitten off, I mean, I would be done probably.
Yeah. That, yeah.
But I guess maybe she's like, well, he can't. What's going to happen?
I think if you're the kind of person who's surfing anyway, mm-hmm. you probably have a lot of chutzpah. To, for lack of a better word, you know, you're kind of a grab life by the balls kind of person, I guess, you know, and she's so young and she was just like, OK,
yeah, I lost my arm. It's not going to what's the chance it's going to happen again?
But I wonder, balancing must be really a challenge, right?
I don't with an arm being gone. I think it's,
yes,
you I think you can get your balance back from that.
But don't you surf? Don't you put your arms out? Or is that just like a.
I think that's more of a Gidget thing.
That's a Gidget thing?
Oh my God,
I loved Gidget so much.
Wait, can I get an older reference?
No. Gidget the movie. There, that's older.
I've never seen an episode of Gidget.
What?
No. I just know it as a cultural
reference. Dad was on an episode of Gidget.
No, that's so cute.
He played a Swede who
hilarious
took his girlfriend over his knee and spanked her.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
We got is that on YouTube? Because I want.
Oh, I'm sure you can find it.
I'm putting that.
Yeah,
in show
yeah.
notes.
So that was sharks. That's what you do to avoid sharks in the first place. What you do if you actually can't avoid the sharks, and what you do if they are attacking you, you have to fight back.
Well, I feel much better now.
I hope you do. I hope you realize how rare it is, and that the likelihood of you encountering a shark is very, very slim. And you should enjoy your beach day.
I'm gonna keep snorkeling.
Keep snorkeling.
Keep on snorkeling, everyone.
That's right. Keep on snorkeling. And we'll be right back after this.
Hey, welcome back to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. Danielle.
Christine, over the break, Garen showed you the video of the guy being attacked by the shark.
That was nuts.
It was crazy, right? I mean, I don't know why I said you don't see the shark. Of course you see the shark. Yeah. And then you just see him like go under the water and you think he did. And then...
He was fine.
He was fine.
You know what?
Just fine.
I have to say, I think I preferred your voice than his.
Like, Australian accent?
I liked your impression of him better than his actual voice.
Thank you.
So, I think you should always do him.
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
So, we just talked about how to survive being attacked by a shark.
We did.
And now we're going to talk about how to survive being attacked by an audience member with our very special guest, Rebecca Lee.
Hi.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. And I do want to see that shark attack video before I leave.
So it's a surfer from 2015, is an Australian surfer. During the competition, yeah.
This is giving me anxiety already. Yeah. I know what's going to happen, but.
Yeah, yeah. He's fine. He actually gets out unscathed. It's kind of impossible.
Does he still surf? Do we know?
He did still surf. He was approached. The guy gave him his calling card by another shark later.
Maybe it was the same shark.
Maybe it was the same shark coming back for seconds.
I like to think that it was.
I think, it was like that Jaws movie, right? Wasn't there a Jaws 3 or Jaws 2? This time it's personal.
Being the Jaws expert, Jaws the Revenge, which would be part 4, is when the shark follows Ellen Brody to the Bahamas.
But it's like the shark's... It's like the shark's mom or something, or the son, or...
I don't know.
They're all related. All the Jaws sharks.
Oh, no, Jaws 3, I think they killed her... a baby shark or something, and then its mom came back.
Okay.
That was in 3D. I saw it at the movie theater.
Oh, you did?
When I was a child.
You saw Jaws 3D?
Yeah.
I remember it coming out. Yeah. I just don't, I didn't see any of those, so.
Well, in part 4, it roars, so just give us something
for that. The shark roars?
There's roaring of the shark at the end. Yeah, it did definitely.
Like they used Foley, or they just like used...
They used a lion's.
A lion's
it
roar.
It may as well have been the MGM lion.
I was going to say the MGM.
That's ridiculous.
Oh my God. What's that guy's name? Leo?
Yes.
Yeah.
The MGM lion?
Yeah, Leo.
I didn't know
original
he had a name.
Leo. Wow. Real original MGM. Yeah.
I know. Well, there was some story about that lion. I can't remember what it was now. But
we digress.
It was Howard Hughes's pet.
Was it?
Is
I just
true?
Made no. I just made that up.
But oh my
I mean,
God.
That, doesn't that sound like it could be true?
Yes, 100%.
Or William Hurst.
Yes.
It was on his estate.
Yeah,
like it's something like that.
Right.
One of those two things.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it was.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell everybody it was.
I'm gonna say the lion ran his own newspaper and was responsible for yellow journalism because it was yellow.
Had a mistress, Clara Bow.
Yeah.
Just mixing up so just many things.
Like right Marion Davies, she couldn't sing.
And also, is the Black Dahlia killer?
Yes! The lion killed her.
Yep.
The lion hated prostitutes.
We just solved it. Sex workers, Danielle?
No,
sex
back
workers.
Then they were called prostitutes.
You're right, you're right.
I'm not PCing up my Black Dahlia story.
I feel like I'm going to need my inhaler because I'm laughing so hard.
So, you, before we get into your story, yes. You are in a play.
I am.
Which seems so high class.
I like plays.
It's called An Intervention.
It is.
And it's playing, where is it playing?
So it's at the Hudson Theater,
okay.
Which is the old Comedy Central stage, no longer that. It's on Santa Monica, if you're in the Los Angeles area. It's
and they have a nice little cafe next door, which is really good.
They do. It is.
Yeah. I think it's called.
Yeah, it's called, I think it's called Eat This.
Eat This, yeah.
But it's delicious. And yeah, it's only two characters in the play. Their names are A and B. The playwright Mike Bartlett wanted it to be so that anybody could play it, any gender, any ethnicity, any age.
Okay.
So they're just called A and B.
Gotcha.
And it's a lovely like 75-minute run.
Great
show. So it's like real nice to go in, sit, no intermission. You
yes.
do the thing. You clap and you leave. You know?
I love it. I love a clap and leave.
Me too.
Nice.
I wish they could all be clap and leaves, you know?
Right. No lingering.
Nah, just clap and
what's,
leave.
What's the run on this wonderful sounding experience?
What's the run? Like the dates or the...
Yeah.
So we're doing weekends. We did last weekend, this weekend, next weekend, Friday night, Saturday matinees. And then I think we're going to extend into June now.
Wonderful.
Okay. Good. Because this episode might come out in a couple weeks. So that's good to know.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're extending it to June, maybe running into Fringe, the Fringe Festival in LA at that point.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can look it up online. It's called An Intervention and at the Hudson Theater. So that should be enough.
The website's aninterventionla.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because, if you look up An Intervention in L.A., you could really come up
there's
with
a lot
just...
of
yes. You're going to end up at Promises in Malibu.
Yeah.
I did do it. I did do the Google search. We are, I think, number... We might be number one
okay,
or two.
Good.
But then, you know,
yep.
Promises is not far off from
that,
one or two.
That just gave me an idea, though, of, like, if, like, influencers or something could appear at interventions to be... Like if you combined an intervention with a cameo...
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And be like, hey, it's me, Jasmine X.
Yeah.
Yep.
And she's got a problem. We're concerned about you. I have a letter your uncle wrote that I'm going to read to you now.
Jasmine X.
Yeah.
Is that a real person?
No. I know of. I don't know the name.
Probably
of,
is.
I don't know the name of any
I want you to create Jasmine X.
I am going to.
And she only does cameos if they're interventions.
Yeah, because she wants to give back.
Yeah, she does. She really does.
She wants to give back.
But she also has a skincare line.
And she does. She will show you her makeup routine maybe once a week. But that's it.
Does she show you how to go from day to night?
She does.
But only when you've been 48 hours sober.
and not a minute earlier.
Only when you admit you have a problem.
You have to do step one.
Yeah. Before. Step one goes with, it's 12 steps of makeup plus 12 steps
of sobriety.
Of sobriety, yeah.
And then she'll send you a cameo.
I love it. Okay, and then the other thing is that you have a podcast you don't do any longer, but it's still available, called How the Fuck Did You Get So Confident?
I do. I think there's like 70 episodes.
Oh my gosh.
Or something. Yeah, there's a good amount. I was doing them like every week. It started like, I guess, right before the pandemic. I was like, man, my peers are all so confident. I'm in the improv community in LA, and I'm like, my peers are so confident. Why aren't I that thing? And so I started asking like my friends to get coffee, just to kind of like pick their brain on how they're confident. And then the pandemic happened, so these coffee talks stopped, and I just started talking to people on Zoom. And then I was like, this is a lot of great, valuable information that other people might benefit
it's
from.
So smart.
Yeah. So then I just started releasing them, just because why not? No one else was. We were doing the push-up challenge at the beginning of the pandemic.
Right.
You know?
I did the 25 else? For 25.
You know, like what else are we doing? That was a common thread throughout like every interview. Is, you know, learn a new skill and gain confidence.
So good to know.
Yeah. No, I think that's good to know.
But we're not here to talk about
we're not.
Positive things.
sometimes we are.
Sometimes. But in this case, we just learned about shark attacks, like I said, and we're going to hear about an attack from an audience member. And who was that audience member, Rebecca?
Yeah, that audience member was a batshit crazy person.
Yeah.
Also known as me. I was not the performer. I was the audience member doing the set attacking.
Gotcha.
And I'm not proud of it. Well, but you know what? You might be proud of it if once you hear the story.
I want to hear. Yeah, let's hear it.
Oh God. Okay. So, as every good story starts, yes. I was dating this man,
and he was a comic.
Got
it.
We were living bi-coastal. I was in LA. He was in New York. I had gotten into a theater program in New York, and I was like very excited about it. It was a conservatory program. And I was like, yay, we get to be in the same city. Yay. And
wow.
He was like, yay, that's great. Yay. And then, like, I think 10 days maybe before my move, he broke up with me.
Oh, no.
And I was like already like had paid for my tuition, had like found my housing. And like, you know, I maybe would have gone to this school regardless, but like it definitely was a helpful thing that like my partner at the time was living there, and like there, you know, there were programs in California, like there's a wonderful ACT in San Francisco that I could have gone to or whatever, right. But I was like, no, I'll go to the New York one. So he breaks up with me.
And now how long had you been dating at this point?
We had known each other for like 4 years or something. We'd been dating for like maybe a year and a half.
All right, so that's no
substantial. But we were flying back and forth every month. Right. You know, it was like a full on thing. And so he breaks up with me, and I'm obviously devastated. But I'm like, you know what? I'm still gonna go. Like I've already paid. Like I don't have a choice, right? Yeah. Like I've put down my deposit. I've paid my tuition. I can't get it back. So like, what else am I gonna do? So I go and I start this theater program. It's really hard. It's challenging. It's great. It's wonderful. He starts hitting me back up and like wanting to hang out, and me being still like wanting to the relationship to work. I'm like, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course. So we start hanging out again. We start like going on dates, but it's very clear that it's not an exclusive relationship.
Oh, you can't go backward.
Yeah,
like
no,
that.
No.
Yeah. So, okay. So far you guys are on my side. Great.
Absolutely.
So, like we're hooking up or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he invites me to his stand-up show. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, this is evolving, right? Like, you don't just invite anybody to your stand-up.
You want to keep those shows small.
You want to keep those shows intimate and private to your exclusive friends.
I have to ask, was it a bringer show?
Let me tell you. I was going to get to that
point. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry. I jumped the gun.
No, it 100% was. Okay. 1,000% was. It turns out, like, he framed it as, like... his show, it was certainly like a tight five situation.
Oh no.
Like possibly an open mic.
Oh no.
Which is like nothing against those, but it like he definitely framed it as his.
Wait, had you already seen him do stand up, or was that not part of
his? No, like I actually hadn't, because when I met him, we were living in Colorado at the time, and he was just another like comedy. Like we met like in comedy acting like
classes type
stuff. Okay. There, so like I had never seen him do stand up.
Okay.
So it was like the first time. So he like really framed it well, and I was like, great.
He was like, I'm doing so well in New York.
Yes.
I'm like at the Comedy Cellar doing. I'm headlining Saturday night.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm new to, at this point, I'm pretty new to New York, and like I don't know all the place, like I don't know all the venue, like I know the big ones, and so I can't remember what this place's name was, but it was something insane, like it was something like, I don't remember, but it was like pirate, and it's out of business, like no longer in business, but it was like Pirate Jack's, like, oh, no. like I should have known, like red flag after red flag, should have known what I was going into, but naive little me was just like,
skull
and
crossbone flex.
I'm dead fucking serious. Oh, and
Pirate Jack's. A themed comedy club.
And I like, I wish I remember the name of it, but I looked it up maybe a year ago to like see what the name of it was. And it was like out of business. And I was like, yeah. And that was before COVID. But anyway. So I was like, oh my God, I'm getting invited to his fucking stand-up show. I'm so excited. I went and got a new outfit. Like, I remember, I remember being like on the train. I remember the shoes that I bought, the outfit, like I was ready.
Right.
And so I get there. I bring a friend. Well, I'll step back one second. I went to the bar next door with a friend first.
Okay.
And had a couple drinks. And, you know, when you live in New York, you don't have to drive. So you may have more drinks there than you would here.
Yes.
So I was pounding my drink at the time.
I don't have to drive, so I'm drinking like a maniac.
I'm drinking like a maniac. Yeah, I mean, I was broken up. I was already in like an altered state. Yeah. I'm in this very intense theater program, which is like all day and like in an emotional state as it is. So we're pounding. My drink of choice at the time was vodka and grapefruit juice, which I think is a greyhound.
It is a greyhound.
Yes. Yeah.
Delicious.
It is
good.
It's a good one.
It's great. So I'm pounding those, just like trying to get myself ready. And like we go next door and he's there and he brought his another girl that he was talking to.
What?
No.
Yeah, he asked her to come too.
What an idiot.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
So,
and I knew about this because while we were dating in separate cities, I had seen her like pop up on his like social media or something. So like I knew there was already like something there. And then she's there and I'm like, "Oh my god. Fuck." And I'm also hammered. And so I just kind of lose my mind at that point.
Of course.
And start drinking more and more and more. And then it's time to do his tight five. And, and I just heckled the shit out of him.
I need to hear some specific.
I wish I remembered all the things, but it was because I was also drunk. And this was a couple years ago. This was in, I don't know if I want to say because it's not that long ago. 2015, I think.
Okay.
So I think it was just, you know, your typical, like, this fucking guy. Oh, this, oh, that's fucking, oh, hilarious. So fucking funny.
My God.
You know, like that type of thing.
Okay, so wait, I have to back up for one second.
Yeah, back up.
Did he see you before he went on stage?
Yes.
Did you have a conversation before he went on stage?
Yes, we did.
So what was that conversation? In the
world? It was just like, she's just a friend. Like, it was like that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
And me being like, but I thought we were, and he's like, no, we're not a thing. Me and you aren't a thing.
I don't understand how you can date someone for a year and a half and then go backwards and be like, oh, we're casual. I don't understand. But what I really don't understand is why he felt the need to do that.
I don't. No.
He's like a sadist.
That's insane.
I don't know.
Because if he's getting other girls, it's not like he has to, like, if he doesn't date you, he doesn't date anyone.
He's got to have the sense to at least be like, I'm going to have multiple, I'm assuming, sexual relationships with women. I'm going to have the sense that or not invite two of them to the same
place. That's what I thought.
But also, why even continue dating her if he's not, if he's... He knows you were in love with each other.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Well, he wants the benefits of being able to be with a beautiful woman, but not have to be exclusive.
I know, but then just don't be exclusive with someone you haven't already had a year and a half relationship with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do casual dating, but with other people.
Well, like the history's already there.
But you're not.
I'm looking. He's a sadist.
Well, he's selfish.
He's selfish.
And a narcissist, probably.
And he likes you and he loves you.
Why wouldn't he want to spend time with her?
No, I mean,
he's like, of course I want to hang out with her. She's gorgeous and she's funny and she's smart.
Oh my god.
She's way funnier than I am.
You guys.
I know. This is how you get confident.
However, I still want to be able to put my dick in a lot of vaginas at the same time.
Right.
Because
At the same time.
He's a really big dick and they just line up and it's just like a skewer.
Boom.
So
he has a skewer dick.
Oh my god. Barbecue. Okay.
So he
says she's just a friend and you're like, F you.
Yes.
That's what you call me and I know what that means.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's saying you guys aren't a thing right before he's about to go on stage.
Yeah, it was basically like you need to calm down. It was like a gaslighting situation.
Yes.
It was like, you need to calm down.
Uh-huh.
I said from the beginning I didn't want to be in a relationship again. Like, you know, I laid it out, I laid the terms out, this is on you, that type of thing.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, okay. And like, and it's like, just went back to the bar and I had a friend there who I don't know how he got home, because I'll tell you how I got home. So pound, drinks, heckle. And then
Glad you did that. Did it throw him off? Please tell me.
Oh, it had to have.
Of course.
I'm so glad.
Because like, I don't think he had done it a lot in New York prior.
So he's kind of inexperienced.
And
is he kind of acknowledging it, or is he just blowing through and pretending it's not happening?
I think he he like he acknowledged it, but he didn't like call it out and like make it like a
he wasn't like this is the girl.
No, I'm not really in a thing.
Well, she we were in a relationship for a year and a half,
honestly,
and I'm an asshole.
I wish he would have, because I feel like that would have at least like everybody would have gotten it at that point.
Yeah,
but because
he didn't have the skills to do that.
No, he didn't have that. So it was like the. I'm sure the audience, I know the audience was like, who the fuck is this crazy bitch? Which is, of course, I looked absolutely
nuts. Well, yeah, you were like the drunk woman at a comedy show.
Yes, which is so embarrassing, and I hate that I was that. But the circumstances.
I think it dictates that you had to do what you did.
So he's done. He did his set. His friends, clap, clap, clap. You're so great. This bitch is crazy. So he had this one friend who was there who I had met previously because we had been dating for, you know, a year and a half. So I had met this, not the new girl, but like this other friend, woman.
Okay.
And I had met her before, and she is a personal trainer and is like super buff and fit and taller than me. She's from like.
The Amazon?
No.
The Biggest Loser.
Yeah. She's just like has an act like a European accent.
Okay.
Like just like very intimidating and threatening to me.
Yeah.
So she comes up to me and is like, you can't do that. Like, don't fucking talk to him like that.
Oh my God.
So, and I'm like a little shrimpy, bony, like weirdo. And I'm like, yeah, you really? I can't do it. Then you want to take this outside? You want to fucking take this outside? And she's
God.
Let's take this outside.
Oh my God.
So
I love
like, okay, we'll fucking take it outside then. Mind you, she's like a 6-foot bodybuilder from like the Ukraine or like some fucking country with an accent. And I'm a 5'6", like scrawny. Also, I was so upset at the time, well, like right before I moved, when he broke up with me, I was eating, the only thing I could stomach for like a couple weeks was like bananas and like almond milk. So I'm like thin and sad. I'm like this thin, sad spaghetti.
And now you're drunk.
And then hammered and think that I can fight a 6-foot bodybuilder.
Had you ever been in a physical fight before?
No.
Okay. So this was just like, this was just a movie at this point. You're just like, yeah, let's do it.
I'm like, yeah, I'm hammered. I don't know where my friend is.
I was wondering.
I don't know. And like, I don't even think I checked in the next day. I should have. I feel really bad.
No, he should have checked in with you.
I think he was probably just in the corner, like wide-eyed, being like, what the fuck is happening? Because he was like a sweet theater nerd in my program. And so he definitely wasn't going to get involved.
Oh, so he didn't really know you that well.
No.
Oh, so you're just an insane person.
I'm an insane person. I was like, hey, you want to come to this theater? And he's like,
Watch me lose my shit.
Yeah. And I'm sure he was just like shaking on the corner, this sweet, sweet theater friend.
Oh, my God.
And so I'm like, yeah, I do want to take it outside. I do. I would love to fucking take this outside.
Oh, my God.
I love
it. And so we take it outside. And like, getting ready to fight, and I was like,
you're rolling up your sleeves,
really
taking
was.
Off your earrings,
I really was, and this is like on, God, I wish I remembered what area of the city it was. It was on, I think it was on the west, somewhere. It might have been in the West Village, but, so we're like in the middle of the fucking street in New York, like, people on the sidewalk.
Oh my God.
Like, ready to do the thing, and then like, attack. I'm like, you know what? I can't do this. And like, I'm like completely chicken out, and I'm like, oh, I can't do this. And I just book it down the street, book it down the street by myself. And I'm sure everybody is like, who is this insane woman who goes outside to fight, and like right before she does it, just like takes the hard turn and runs down the street.
But you know what?
The other way.
That's kind of brilliant though, because even in your stupor, you had the sensibility to go, you know what? I can just not do this.
I was just like, I'm going to lose this.
Yeah, there's no way this comes out well.
Right.
And I'm in, I still have the shoes that I was, and they were like, this was the summertime, so they were like high heels, but like strappy sandal heels.
Oh,
high heels.
Yeah. You don't want to fight in those.
You don't. You absolutely don't.
I don't want to walk in those.
You know what? You don't want to run in them, which I did.
Uh-huh.
So I was running, and as I was, I'm truly running down the streets of New York back to my apartment, which is not close. Like, not close at all. It was probably like a 15-minute run back to my apartment.
Did you think you had to run the whole time?
I don't know what I was thinking. I did not take the train. I ran.
They weren't following you, were they?
No one was following me. I was just like in, I probably thought I was in a movie at that point.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just, I cry. No one understands me. I can't believe this happened. So I'm running. I get to my apartment and I go to take the step from, because I'm in the street, mind you, like wasn't on the sidewalk for any of this run.
Oh.
No, running down the actual street. So I go from the street to the sidewalk and I'm drunk and I'm in heels and I somehow eat shit. I somehow don't make it and eat fucking faceplant. Faceplant, eat shit on the ground. And that's all I remember. And then I woke up the next morning in my bed. Somehow I got there.
What?
I don't know, but I got there. I was right there. Like, it was like a movie. Like, I was right at the door to my apartment. And then I just went down.
Oh, God.
So I don't know what happened, but somehow I got back up to my apartment. I wake up the next morning, puke on the floor, as one does.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh, man. What happened? Like, I remember kind of. Uh-huh. And I go to look at my phone. I see him texting me being like, you're fucking, like, you're nuts. Like, this is what happened. Fuck you. Like, all these things.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, shit. And I'm, like, hazy at this point. I remember heckling him, but in my head, it was just like, ha, boo. Like, you know, it wasn't like, it wasn't anything big. It wasn't a big deal. That's, like, kind of what I thought in my head at the time. And I'm like, what is he on about? So I get up to go clean the puke that's on the floor and hit the ground because I had broken my fucking ankle on that fall. I look down at my leg and it is fucking huge, swollen, black and blue. And it's only been like a couple hours at this point.
Right.
But like huge, could not bear to put weight on it. And I'm like, all right, I fucked up. I'm trying to clean the puke up, I realize I broke my ankle. I'm like, all right, I fucked up. But I'm going to save this relationship.
No.
I really want your energy on that ankle.
So I'm like, listen, I can put weight on it. So like, I really shouldn't be at this point. And I'm like, I can do it. I'm gonna save this relationship. So I get it on the train to Harlem to go try to save my relationship.
Wait, how did you
like
do that?
Truly like
hopping
like that like whole like not putting weight on it. So I get on the train, I go to Harlem. And I'm like, I'm downstairs. Like, I'm sorry. I'm texting. I'm downstairs. I'm sorry. And he's like, I'm not letting you into my apartment. He's like, I'll come down to you, but you're not allowed to come up. And I was like,
because I have a girl here.
Quite possibly true.
Right.
And so I was like, okay. All right. So he comes down. It is basically like, I'm never talking to you again. How dare you come to my show and do that? You know, which like. Both are true. I should have done all that. He probably shouldn't have led me on and brought another girl there, but I absolutely should not have got into a drunken rage.
I don't know. I kinda,
heckled somebody and then tried to fight their
I
friend.
I feel like
then,
that's very aggressive behavior, though, to invite this other woman and then to 2 minutes before he goes on stage tells you we're not in a relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very provoking behavior.
It was, but I think it's
narcissism, like 101.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I probably should have handled it. Like, at this point in my life, I could have easily left. And I now know not to do what I did, but I did do it. So he's like, I'm never going to talk to you again. Uh-huh. Ever, never. Don't talk to me. He blocks me, all the things, like, in front of me, blocking you.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, okay. And, like, meanwhile, my ankle's just swelling up by the minute. And I'm like, all right, okay, fucked up. Got it. And so he leaves. I'm crying, and I'm like, I can no longer put weight on this ankle.
Oh, my God.
I got to get a cab. I cannot take the train. And so I get a cab, and I go to the ER, and they x-ray it, and they're like, yeah, you broke your ankle. You broke it. And I was like, fuck.
Did you have to say how you broke it?
I do remember, like, vividly filling out these forms to get the intake forms or whatever. And it was like, are you currently experiencing depression, anxiety, like, all the things? And I'm like, yes. Like, this is what my life is now. And so they, like, cast it up, and they're like, you've got to go to an orthopedic, like, surgeon or whatever at this point. And I flew back to, like, where my mom lived in Florida because I was like, I can't do all this in the city by myself. Like, I need to do it. And I just remember, like, being on crutches, being in this, like, temporary cast with, like, a bunch of luggage and having to have, like, the airport people helped me.
Right.
And this is like the next day or maybe like 2 days after this, because I like had to get to the orthopedic surgeon. It didn't end up needing surgery, but like I had to get there. And so I just remember like security patting my cast down for bombs as I go through TSA my crutches with like my helper with my with my luggage and being like, I guess this is rock bottom. Like, I guess this is it. Like, and
oh my God, Rebecca, that story is unbelievable. That's, she looks so embarrassed, but honestly,
I am. I'm so embarrassed.
But I totally
think
get
you
it.
Have and I to be embarrassed
there have
about.
Been times in my life where it's like, I wish I had the balls to just be like that. I really do. I think that's I think that's so cathartic. I mean, what an asshole.
You stood up for yourself,
even if that girl was just his friend, which you're.
I think
sure.
they ended dating. I think they dated after me.
Yeah, and before.
Yeah. And during. jinx, jinx.
But even if she wasn't, it's still such a creepy guy. Just so creepy.
I think what hurt me the most wasn't even that she was there. It was that, like, he made me feel like we were back to normal. And then, yeah. And then in the moment was like, I told you we're not that. Like, this shouldn't yeah. be surprising to
it
you.
It was classic gaslighting.
Behavior. Yeah, yeah. That's what was the most hurtful. But, you know, I haven't heckled anybody since. It was my first heckle and my last heckle.
It's
which,
not your thing.
No, oh I discovered I'm probably not a heckler. It's probably not something
didn't really
I
pay off.
No, doesn't ever pay off.
It got you out of the relationship quicker, though. So, honestly, it did kind of pay off because who knows how long that shit would have dragged out.
That's true. That's very true.
You know
true.
What I mean?
And I wouldn't have left it.
Right.
You know.
You weren't in the frame of mind, so.
No. It had to take me heckling someone, breaking my ankle, and getting blocked to not be in the relationship.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for coming. That story was amazing. You can see how funny Rebecca is, yes. And she actually does an improv show every Monday.
Every Monday.
And tell us about where it is and how you can.
Yeah. It's at Silver Lake Lounge in Silver Lake. Yes. Imagine that.
Okay.
All makes sense.
It all makes sense. It's at 8 o'clock on Mondays, every single Monday. So come out, kick it.
Does your group have a name?
It's called Holy Shit Improv, and we actually rotate out teams every Monday. So it's a new one. I think this upcoming Monday, we have a team with Lauren Lapkus, Betsy Sodaro, Mary Holland.
Okay.
So, like, you know, a bunch of
So you're not there
greats.
Every week.
We are.
I mean, you.
I'm there every week.
Oh, you are.
Yeah. I'm there every week. My team. Basically, we have like a mashup team. So like, I'll be there every week, and I just invite different people to play.
Gotcha.
And then different teams will come too. So
okay,
fun.
Yeah.
Very
so
fun.
It's every Monday at 8:00. It's like 8 to 9, 9:30.
So clap and leave.
Clap and leave. It's your classic clap and leave.
I love a clap and leave.
So yeah, come out, come hang out and laugh.
Oh my gosh!
And don't heckle me. And don't heckle me, because I was vulnerable enough to share this story with you.
Yes, exactly.
And I told you that it was my first heckle, my last heckle. So, you listeners, do not heckle me.
You know what? You've been warned. You've been warned.
Yes, that's not a way to show that you listened to this episode.
Yes, a hello will suffice.
Yes.
We can't thank you enough for being here. That was really, really funny and horrifying and wonderful. And all those emotions.
The best kind of story.
And we will be right back with what we learned today. Okay, so this is what we learned today. A veneer is a layer of material placed over a tooth. Veneers can improve the aesthetics of a smile and protect the tooth surface from damage. Don't tease a shark, dum-dum.
It's going to be hard.
Protect your krill with a shark trust. If you're in the ocean, keep your fluids to yourself.
Oh, okay.
Don't splash. Get big if attacking, get small if passing by. As far as unprovoked shark attacks go, 84% are of men and 89% of shark bite deaths are also men. It seems women are not only more likely to avoid an attack, but also to live through an attack if it does occur.
Huh.
Very interesting.
One benefit of being a woman.
One benefit,
we just
that's
found
it.
One.
But don't go in with your period.
No.
Hit the snout. Punch the gills. Fight back. Oh, this is who we were talking about. Bethany Milani Hamilton is an American professional surfer and writer who survived a 2003 shark attack in which her left arm was bitten off and who ultimately returned to professional surfing.
Good for you, Bethany.
And finally, keep on snorkeling.
You know what I'd like to do?
What?
I would like to read an email.
Yes.
From one of our listeners.
Oh, I would like that too.
This is from Ariana. This came in from our website. Just wanted to let you know how much we enjoy your show. My daughter, 17, and I listen each week on the way to and from school.
Aww.
And always have a great time listening. We rewatched The Revenant the other day, a great movie, but we spent time checking off survival tips they were doing that we had just learned about on your show.
Oh, that's great.
From melting snow and not eating it cold to avoid dehydration to crawling inside a carcass to avoid freezing.
Love it.
Thanks, Danielle, Christine, Garen, and guests for putting out such a great show. Ariana and Bella.
Oh my gosh, that's so sweet.
They have such lovely names.
I know, I love it.
Thank you so much, you guys. And everyone else, thanks for listening. Hit us up on our social medias, and we love to hear from you.
And until next time,
remain calm.